Welcome to the Herbs with Rosalie podcast, a show exploring how herbs heal as medicine, as food, and through nature connection. I'm your host, Rosalie de la Forêt. I'm an herbalist teacher and the best-selling author of the books Alchemy of Herbs and Wild Remedies. I created this podcast to share trusted herbal wisdom so that you can get the best results when relying on herbs for your health. I love offering up practical knowledge to help you dive deeper into the world of medicinal plants and seasonal living. My goal is that you'll walk away from each episode feeling inspired to start working with herbs in your everyday life. Each episode of the podcast is available on my Herbs with Rosalie YouTube channel, as well as your favorite podcast app. Transcripts and recipes for each episode can be found at herbswithrosaliepodcast.com. To get the latest news as well as fun bonuses, be sure to sign up for my weekly herbal newsletter. Okay, grab your cup of tea. Let's dive in. You can tell that Maria is an herbal teacher because this episode is absolutely packed with in-depth herbal information all about lemon balm. Seriously, grab your pen and your notebook and get ready for a serious download. This is Maria's second time on the show, and I'm thrilled to have her back, and she really brings in all the goodness. Maria Noelle Groves is a clinical herbalist nestled in the pine forests of New Hampshire. Her business, Wintergreen Botanicals, is devoted to education and empowerment via herb courses, health consultations, and writing with the foundational belief that good health grows in nature. She is the author of the books Body into Balance, An Herbal Guide to Holistic Self-Care, Grow Your Own Herbal Remedies, and the very brand new book, Herbal Remedies for Sleep. Hi, Maria.
Hey, Rosalie.
I'm so excited to have you back on the show for multiple reasons. And for listeners who don't know, you were on the show before. You talked about motherwort. The comments that came in about that episode are some of the coolest we've had. So it was a very valuable episode. And if people haven't listened to that, they should go check it out after we hear from you today. And I would love to start in, maybe not with your whole story, because we covered that in the previous episode, but I'd love to hear, like, what are the updates? What's going on in Maria's world right now?
Well, things have been pretty busy. So anybody who already is following me probably knows that I've moved. So that's been a big change that kind of consumed a lot of the last 6 months, would be, you know, looking for a home, buying a home, moving to the home. And so we are now in a new location, which isn't that far from the old location, but it'll be a little bit more of a family commune, if you will, and that we're going to be sharing it with some of our relatives, which is pretty exciting. And we'll be also doing my home business and my classes out of the new home as well. So that was just in the last month or so, as far as when we're recording this. I think it's going to air quite a bit later. And so that's been a big thing on my personal life. And then on the business side, I've been very busy just kind of working with clients and my regular class load and all that. But then writing has been something that I've been diving into more the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So last winter, I was writing a book and it is now going to be releasing. It'll have released right around the same time that this podcast airs. And then right now, as we're recording, I'm actually writing a manuscript for my fourth book that'll come out next year. But the big news for right now is really the Herbal Remedies for Sleep book that is in the process of releasing. And so that's been the big focus. And that's a little bit of why I'm here today, and the sort of centers around the plant that I chose to focus on today as well.
Well, I'm so excited for this book. And I think probably one of the biggest reasons I'm excited for it, Maria, is because your two other books I consider some of the very best herbals out there on the market. So Body and Balance was kind of this instant classic that filled this major hole within the herbal world. And I kind of didn't have the time for this joke, but I wanted to mention, if you're building new gardens in your new home, I know a great book for that too. So, which would be your second book. So yeah, your books are just classics. They're so high quality, so informative. And now we get one on sleep. And so I want to know, why sleep? Why is this your third book?
So certainly sleep is something, you know, first I'll say that it was actually the publishers who came to me with the idea. And then I thought, well, yeah, this sounds like a wonderful idea, because sleep is really of the essence. It's one of the core aspects to holistic wellness. There are a few areas that I think we as holistic practitioners and herbalists focus on in supporting people's overall well-being, and sleep is one of the big ones. And for me personally, it was my, I won't go into my whole origin story because you guys have heard it before, but that was my entrance into herbal medicine, was my own issues around sleep and anxiety after some traumatic events. And herbs ended up really doing a lovely job kind of helping support my healing process in sleep. And it's still one of my taskmasters. You know, when my life gets out of balance, sleep is one of the first things that gets affected. And herbs are not the only way in which I support that, but they have been really tremendous allies. And we've also come, I don't know if coming off of is quite the right word, but the last few years have been quite stressful for just about everybody. And a lot of people are having sleep issues for a variety of different reasons. And so it just seemed right. And one thing I will say about this book and the next one as well, is that if somebody already has Body into Balance and Grow Your Own Herbal Remedies, we're actually borrowing quite a bit of content from those books on the background and the plants and some of the recipes, and then diving even deeper into the topic and updating and expanding and adding some new plants and new recipes and more of the background information. So if folks already have the first two books, they will find some of the information in the new books repetitive, but then there will also be additional kind of deeper dives than what we get into in the first two books. Sort of the goal being to reach some audiences that maybe aren't ready for a whole entrance into the world of herbal medicine, but just are dealing with sleep issues and are hoping to find some ways to support that. But I think it'll speak to a lot of different levels. So we'll be talking about different anatomy and physiology. We'll be talking about a little bit about some of the reasons why people might not be sleeping well, which is something we dive much deeper into in this new book than we do in the first two, is just some of the common reasons why people don't sleep well, and then going into some of the plants and actions and recipes. So that's kind of like in a nutshell a little bit. And Story Publishing is always great to work with. So they did a fantastic job with the layout. It's just really pretty. We've got the main photographer from Grow Your Own Herbal Remedies was back to do some extra photo shoots, which was, I was just really glad to have Stacy back because she's fantastic. So,
yeah, oh, I love that. It definitely does take like a big community to make the book happen.
Completely.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this book too, because there are already books out there on sleep, and I've read, you know, some of the most popular ones. And herbs are rarely, if ever, mentioned. And I can't imagine, although there's many holistic things and underlying causes and all these things we can do to address sleep without herbs, like I just feel like bad that people are like missing out on this really key function. So that's going to just be such a wonderful addition that's really going to help a lot of people out there.
Yeah, there are so many ways that herbs can help support us as allies. And certainly all that background, holistic perspectives, stuff is important too, and that's where we start the book off, but it's very herb forward, as I always try to be, because herbs are my thing. That's that's what I, you know, or I'm their thing, I guess would probably be a little bit more accurate. But it's I think that's what people get really excited about, and it's a little bit more approachable, even though the sleep hygiene is important and figuring out what's going on in your body is certainly important. But having that cup of tea or that flower essence or that aromatherapy or that sleep pillow or tincture, whatever it may be, there are so many different ways that we can interact with the herbs to help us in setting us up for a better night's sleep, which and the plant that we're talking about today, lemon balm, is a great example, because even though I have my favorite ways of working with lemon balm, it is a plant that is very amenable to a lot of different formats, and pretty much all of the formats have the potential of being supportive for sleep.
Yeah. That's wonderful. And yeah, we just can't overstate how important sleep is. You know, I just last night I brought food to a friend, and they had fallen like severely ill and had to take the ambulance, go to the hospital, was in the hospital for a week, and they were coming home. So we're bringing them a meal. And so I asked, you know, how are things going today? And they said, oh, this is the first day that we've like turned a corner. And I was like, oh, really? Like, why do you think that is? And they said, we both slept well last night. And it was just like, yeah, like there's just nothing, you know, you just can't compete with that. Like it is truly the healer and just a core function of feeling overall great. So
Yeah, that's been a huge theme in my own life. I came out of the womb needing lots of sleep. I would fall asleep while feeding, and my mother would have to flick me on my feet to wake me back up again. And as a kid, if I went to go to a slumber party and all my friends stayed up much later than I could do, and then I would come back and I would be such a cranky pants the next day. And it's still true that if you mess, as my husband and my family know, if you mess with my sleep, I am much less pleasant person. My own experience of life is just a lot less pleasant the following day, especially if it's really bad or, you know, successive days. And then when you get a good night's sleep, it can kind of take on so much more. I mean, I had my car stolen and smashed to pieces one day, but I had a good night's sleep, and I went out and looked out the window and was like, oh, huh, my car's not where it's supposed to be. Let me take a shower, and then I'll call my work and then the police and deal with that. But I had a good night's sleep, whereas if I didn't get a good night's sleep and I stubbed my toe, I would probably be having a minor meltdown.
Right. That is so true. Well, so you mentioned lemon balm, and you chose it in relationship to this topic of sleep, and also because I know that you love lemon balm. So I'm excited to hear what you have to share with us.
Yeah. So lemon balm is the first herb that I really interacted with as a plant. I mean, my first herbs that I turned to when I wasn't sleeping well were kava and valerian, which were very popular herbs in the 90s when I was studying plants. So those were the first two I really took medicinally. But then when I started studying herbs and interacting with the plants as beings and not just as remedies, lemon balm, because it grows in the garden and my mother was growing it. And so I thought I'd start working with it. And it's become a huge ally for myself personally, as well as my clinical practice. And as many folks know, you know, this is a plant that is really easy to grow. In some areas, it can even be a little bit invasive, especially if you're in a temperate climate. It's usually quite easy to grow and will typically survive the winters. And in my last home, at least, I was in a warm zone 4, and it would almost always come back the next year. And if there was a year in which it maybe we didn't have enough snow cover and then we had a cold snap and it killed off the plants, that's actually really prime conditions for it to self-seed. And so the next year I might have lost my main plant, but then I get a lot of little babies popping up all around the garden. And it's just super generous. So once you have one lemon balm plant, you have plenty of medicine to work with. And it's just really quite lovely in that way. And as you interact with it, you notice immediately that it has that strong lemony aroma. It's got that kind of lemon pledge. It's not quite as nice of a smell as, say, lemongrass or lemon verbena, in my opinion, but it's still nice and it's definitely engaging. And we know that those lemony aromas are fantastic for uplifting our spirits, but also promoting some calm and some focus at the same time. And I'd say that that's really one of the key pieces of lemon balm. I mean, it's one of the supreme nervines, or nervines, depending upon how you want to say it, which is a category of plants that tends to be very wonderful for supporting and nourishing the nervous system. That oftentimes nervines do have a little bit of a calming property, but they're not quite to the level of sedating. And one of the nice things about lemon balm is it is an herb that you can work with day or night. And for most people, it's not going to be too sedating during the day, but yet will be beautifully calming in the evening, especially if you have a nice potent remedy that you've got with it, which isn't always what you'll find on the market, which we'll get to later, is how to make sure that you get really wonderful lemon balm, which the biggie is, if you can grow it, that would be the best place to start. And so it's a wonderful nervine. And I find that a lot of people will immediately turn to the stronger sedatives when they think of sleep support. And that really can work. And that's how I started off personally. But what I've learned as I've kind of grown as a human being and an herbalist, and also listening to my own body and that of my clients, is that sometimes just knocking yourself out with a stronger sedative isn't necessarily the answer. It's really about supporting healthier regulation of the whole nervous system. And some people specifically don't respond well to stronger sedatives, which we can get into later on. With lemon balm, because it's such a gentle but balancing remedy that hits a lot of different areas. It's calming but uplifting, and also it helps with focus. So it's not just a strong one way or another plant. I feel like it's one of the more broadly applicable plants that tends to work really well for a wide variety of people, whereas at least in my own clinical practice, as well as my own body, since I'm a pretty sensitive person, I run it and I attract a lot of sensitive clients that folks might be pretty sensitive to stronger sedatives, that they don't feel well with them. Maybe it bothers apnea, maybe it aggravates depression or something like that. Or even herbs like ashwagandha that can be very balancing for a lot of people, but some people find them agitating or overstimulating. I find that with lemon balm, it's a plant that tends to really support a lot of people without being too pushy in any one direction. And one of the ways that it can be really supportive is for that sleep support, but also during the daytime to help with stress and help with focus, help with the immune system. You know, really, it's one of those plants that has many different aspects and really can't be pigeonholed into just being like, oh, that's just this kind of plant. It's a plant like something like nettles, where the more you get to know it, the more you realize like, oh my goodness, this plant can do so many wonderful things that most of us could use some support with. So we can dive a little bit more deeply into some of those things. But when it comes to its relaxing properties, what I find about it is it just brings things into this nicer vibration of being, where people aren't as apt to jump into that fight or flight mode, that they can be in a greater state of peace and calm, but they're not necessarily getting knocked out, which can be really helpful because some people, when you try to relax them too much, they resist that. Their bodies are like, no, do not push me down. I need to be in alert mode. Whereas lemon balm is just like, it's okay. You can just relax a little bit. You're still, you're still on point. You can still handle what you need to handle if you need to do that. But you're going to do it from a better place, especially if it's a good quality lemon balm. It's an herb that in my clinical practice, I have worked with quite a bit in folks who need support with focus, and especially when they want calm and focus at the same time, versus something like maybe rhodiola that can be quite a bit more zippy, or schizandra, which can be kind of mid-range to zippy. Lemon balm can be nice in that it's beneficial and calming, but also enhancing focus. So folks who are feeling like their nervous system is just pumped up a little bit too much, but they still need to I keep saying focus, but focus on what they need to do. And so folks who are dealing, even kids who maybe are in the ADHD spectrum of neurodivergence, or folks who are elders, there have been some really cool studies on folks with advanced dementia. And while it certainly was not a cure for advanced dementia and Alzheimer's, they found that when folks were interacting with lemon balm in a variety of different formats versus placebos, that they were more engaged, that they were less irritable. So if you have somebody who is feeling stressed, anxious, angry, agitated, overly responsive to stimuli, lemon balm is an herb that could be considered. It tends to be kind of that cool, calm, collected kind of plant. And that can support us as we go to bed, because even though it's not strongly sedating, a lot of us, when we're in that calmer, cooler state, we'll sleep better because we don't have as much of those stress hormones and the monkey mind floating around to distract us from being able to sleep well. So it really does bleed into a lot of really wonderful areas of our nervous system in particular. Also really wonderful for folks who do tend to be a little bit more on the anxious side, which certainly I can relate to personally. And it's a great calming herb for that as well. And being in that kind of balancing range can be really nice for those folks, because not everybody during the day wants to have their stress knocked so low that now they need to go take a nap. Most of us during the day still need to function.
I love what you're sharing, because it's so nuanced in the gifts of lemon balm. In that, I don't know what it was like for you when you first started studying, but I would just like grab everything I could. And so much of like what was available in those early years were just kind of like lists of like uses, like this. And if you took like what you're saying and made a list of it, it could seem contradictory in some ways, like increased focus, but then it's relaxing, you know, all these different things. But that is just like the true beauty of herbs, and why one of my big rallying calls is that people do get to know herbs as kind of how you said earlier, like as a being and not just as a, you know, uses for, because there is so much nuance and ability of these plants to be modulating in a way that, again, like we could think about rationally and just say like, oh, that's contradictory, that doesn't work together. But then everything you said made complete sense. It wasn't contradictory. You know, you really explained it so well and all those different nuances. So thank you for introducing us to lemon balm in this way. And now I will let you get back on to your story. Thanks.
My pleasure. And that's actually one thing I love about the herb books that have been coming out in the later years, mm-hmm. is that they do tend to dive deeper. And, you know, you've got your book, which definitely makes a lot of those really great connections, and Krista Sinodinos and her amazing, amazing like Materia Medica book. And, you know, other folks, you've got Karen Rose, whose book brings in the spirit and sort of the personality. Mm-hmm. So I love how we are really getting more nuanced in our herbal education nowadays versus just kind of the quick list of what do these things do, and really understanding their beings on a deeper level. Because really the truth is almost anybody could take lemon balm and if it's a good quality lemon balm, they'll feel better that day, most likely, no matter whether it's really the matches up perfectly or not. It's just a really nice broad herb like that. But the more we understand about the plants individually and how what they do, and then also how they interact with our bodies, which can be different for each plant and person, the more we can really match up with the plant that's going to be the right ally for us, which is beautiful. And starting with one plant is always a great place to start. And lemon balm is a wonderful one to consider for that one plant to really deep dive into, because she's so accessible and also so wonderful and really appropriate for a lot of different people, which is not always the case. I feel like, especially in the last year or so working with clients, that so many people are just really stressed, really like have been working an adrenal overload for a while now, and they've become very, very, very sensitive. And so I hearken back to a quote that I have heard. I don't think I actually heard him say it, but I hear other people talk about it. Might actually be you, with Jim McDonald saying that gentle does not mean weak. And I feel like that can really apply. I don't think he was talking about lemon balm at the time. I feel like you've said it maybe about chamomile. And I feel like it definitely applies to lemon balm as well. So
that's interesting, because I actually see a lot of parallels between chamomile and lemon balm, which is another discussion entirely. But they both have a lot of similar features and both have that same kind of like balancing nuance, you know, anyway. But yeah, definitely. I think that applies here too.
And I'm not a chamomile person, because I'm one of those allergic to chamomile people. So she is not my ally, but I do think it's another wonderful plant that can really fit into a lot of those categories. And I think one of the tricks with lemon balm is that it's a plant where potency really makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what's on the general market is not very potent. And you could say that about chamomile, but I think that lemon balm is a plant that is one of the most sensitive to reduced potency, depending upon how long it's been kicking around, how it's been processed, where it's grown, what season it's grown. It's very sensitive. And that's where I think a really big difference. You know, some people might take lemon balm tea that they buy in a tea bag and think, this does nothing. It's barely anything. What is this person talking about? Or even buying a commercial tincture. And there's some companies that I adore for their tinctures, but I've yet to find a commercial brand, even amongst the ones that I generally adore for all sorts of other plants, that is anywhere near as effective as what you can make in your own garden. And I think that's because lemon balm is such a ephemeral plant in terms of its aromatics. And so being able to access it directly, make a remedy. I mean, even in my own tinctures, you know, a tincture of mine that's 3 years old still works better than things that I might buy at the store. But I've been working with lemon balm a lot in my own life. And the tincture that I made in the fall was dramatically better than the tincture we made in the summertime. So even just these subtle differences, and tinctures hold their properties pretty well. But even with that, I feel like lemon balm loses its potency. You can still work with 2 or 3 year old lemon balm tincture and get great results with it. But I think maybe that freshness is one of the reasons why it's tricky to get good quality in commerce, even if the company started with good quality material. It's just the fact of the market that anything that you're buying in the store is often 1 or sometimes like 3 to 5 years old from the time it initially was harvested to when it ended up in your hands. And then it might sit on your shelf for a while too. And that's just, the lemon balm's not going to hurt you, but it's not going to do as much. And I've had a lot of clients say that, you know, I no longer have an apothecary for my clients that I run. But when I did, I would have clients say, I ran out and I tried to buy it here or there or whatever. And it just like, I need yours because it didn't work as well. And it's not me. It's not that I'm special and you can only get, because I don't even sell products anyway, but it's that it's what you actually make fresh from your own garden that, and I use really high proof alcohol. So that's my recipe.
Yeah, let's talk about your recipe. That's a good segue into it.
Yeah.
because everyone listening can make their own with your wonderful written instructions. So yeah, will you walk us through that, especially for folks who may be only familiar with the folk method of tincturing? Why do you include some measurements?
Well, I was trained by a couple of different people, but I'd say Michael Moore was one of my biggest influencers. And so the tincture style that I do for most tinctures, including lemon balm, and if anybody's a brand newbie, tinctures would be an alcohol extract, which in commerce, I don't think they're allowed to call them tinctures. So they call them liquid extracts, but it's basically an alcohol or alcohol water extract. And when I make my fresh plant tinctures, I do what Michael Moore did, where I harvest my fresh plant material, and I do find that lemon balm is more potent if it is earlier in the day. And if it's a cooler season, so like spring or fall, I find is a little bit more potent than summer, but I do harvest lemon balm all year long because the more frequently you cut lemon balm, it'll bounce right back. So you can get many multiple harvests. But I do find that those shoulder seasons tend to be a little bit more potent. And so I harvest them. And if it's before it flowers, it usually is a better quality, especially if you're going to be drying it later for tea. For tincture, though, I'll use whatever I've got, but I find that those pre-flowering shoulder seasons plant material, I use harvest maybe the top 2/3. You can really harvest lemon balm pretty close, not all the way to the ground, but leaving a couple sets of leaves behind. It likes a pretty good haircut. And then I'll chop it up in coarsely, shove as much as I can humanly fit into a jar. And if I was to measure in reverse, it would be about a 1 to 2. We usually do measure when we're making tinctures where we get it pretty exact, but really you don't have to, because if you went and then like reversed everything and measured it, it would come out almost exactly a 1 to 2. So if you shove as much of that chopped plant material as you humanly can fit in a jar and then cover it to the tippity-tippity top with your alcohol, and I like to use the highest proof available, which for me is 95% or 190 proof sugarcane ethanol, but whatever you have is fine. And cover it to the tippity top, put your lid on it, check it in another day or two, top it off, because there's always a little bit that works its way through so that it's totally submerged in the alcohol, and then let it sit for at least a month and then strain it out. And that's kind of what we do. But if you were to do all that and then reverse it, you would almost exactly come out to 1 ounce of herb by weight to about 2 ounces of alcohol by volume. It just almost exactly. And if it doesn't come out exactly that, it's fine. The tincture still works, but that's usually how I do it. And it's more important that it's completely covered in the alcohol, because if things are sticking up out of the alcohol, it will not keep well. So I will pick to the jar. So if I have a 16-ounce jar, we're talking a little more than 5 ounces of herb with a little more than 10 ounces of alcohol. And Jim actually has a really nice video out there showing the process, but really it's just shove as much as you can get in a jar, cover it with alcohol. Bada boom, bada bing. That's really all it is. It's not that hard. It takes me longer to explain it than it does to do it. And I do usually leave the stems. You don't have to, but I feel like the stems are so tender that I just chop it all up together with the leaves. So
something I feel like we can't not address is lemon balm and hypothyroid, because that's a question I still, like, I probably get that question once a week, honestly. It's the one that comes up a lot. So
yeah,
Let's talk about it.
So yeah, so my take on hypothyroid, and certainly you'll, if you look at some of my older materials, including my book, Body into Balance, I do kind of like say like some people worry about this, but I have yet to or almost yet to come across a case of it. I've talked with herbalists from around the world, and the general consensus is that it's really just not a likely concern. So where the concern that lemon balm might inhibit thyroid function is out of some, I believe they were just lab studies with combinations of herbs that happen to include lemon balm. And in that, in hyperthyroid tissue, it had a inhibiting effect. But there's really no clinical relevance to that. There are no human cases that I'm aware of. If anybody knows of anybody, please let me know. I'm always willing to have my worldview changed. But it really doesn't seem to be a big concern. And I do have a pretty high percentage of clients with Hashimoto's and hypothyroid states and folks who are on thyroid medications as well who are in my practice and work keeping an eye on their thyroid for other reasons. And we generally do not see any problems. And there's even a theory, and this is still kind of more of a theory because I don't think that there's a lot of clinical research on it specifically, that it may be that how it's supporting thyroid folks who have a hyperthyroid state and possibly also hypo, is that it's helping from an autoimmune perspective, kind of cooling that autoimmune response a little bit. There's a little bit of very preliminary evidence to suggest that, which could be beneficial in both Hashimoto's and Graves, even though it's a hypo, you know, they're a little different. And it also is really nice for easing stress, supporting sleep, helping to calm like mild heart palpitations. And those are some of the symptoms that folks with hyperthyroid might be experiencing. I would say I'd be even more careful about the fact that I wouldn't expect lemon balm to handle a hyperthyroid state all on its own. Hyperthyroid can be really dangerous and potentially deadly, and not having it properly treated with whatever method somebody might be choosing could be really not a great scenario. And so if somebody is thinking, oh, I will just take lemon balm and not do whatever the doctor is wanting me to do, that could put somebody in a pretty dangerous state. So I'd say that's a bigger danger than that lemon balm is going to do something negative for the thyroid or inhibit it or something like that. I have in clients with hyperthyroid seen it be beneficial, but it was in no way sufficient to manage their situation. Some people were able to support their situations holistically. Some people really did need to go with a conventional medicine route. But I'd say that's a bigger danger there. I did have one client, or really actually a student recently, who had a scenario where it seemed like the lemon balm may have inhibited the thyroid, but I suspect there was a recent case of Lyme and a bunch of antibiotics. And I suspect it was actually either the Lyme or the antibiotics, but there's one maybe case that's just recently popped up in the last year or so, but I'm really not concerned. So I've become much more relaxed about that. And that's my take. And I know we talked sort of a similar thing with the motherwort, because motherwort and lemon balm do have a lot of commonalities. And that's another one that was wrapped up in those studies on hyperthyroid, which then made everybody say, oh, you know, it's going to inhibit a healthy thyroid or a low thyroid.
Which kind of comes back to that binary thinking about herbs and how when we really get to know them, we see how not always, but oftentimes there's such a balancing, modulating effect rather than a this for that pharmaceutical reaction.
For sure. The herbs are so much more nuanced than we want to give them credit for, I think, in our knee-jerk, quick response kind of herbalism. So, yes. And really, I'm trying to think if there are any concerns I have around lemon balm. And it's really more about just sometimes it may not be enough for somebody, or sometimes it might not be very potent. But I don't think I typically come across a problem where there's a negative effect. Have you come across any negative effects from lemon balm?
Not that I know of. And you know, you had mentioned earlier that you're allergic to chamomile, so you don't, you know, that's not your plant ally. I teach a lot with chamomile, but I always say if you can't do chamomile, it's kind of like lemon balm's the safety zone. You know, like that's like the one, there's not the allergic reactions and Yeah, I think the biggest concern with lemon balm is growing it in ideal conditions in your garden without any kind of container, because then it will overrun your container. I think that's my only warning when it comes to lemon balm.
Well, that is a good point. I never used to have a problem. Like, my lemon balm always stayed where it was. I think maybe because I had sort of dry, sandy. You know, lemon balm really prefers richer soil, good drainage, but richer soil with some moisture and a dappled sun. It doesn't really like to be too hot and dry. And my garden was pretty sandy. And so I think that sort of curbed it. It would still grow in a lot of other situations, but it just isn't quite as happy. And lemon balm is very happy. It can start to take over. But I will say that I hope whoever bought my gardens is really, really likes lemon balm, because there's a lot of it in there. Because I had one plant that I planted after there was a die-off, and then it self-seeded. And so it's like a good one third of a pretty large garden is lemon balm. But I love lemon balm, and I love to share lemon balm, and it will definitely be one of the first plants that gets planted in the spring this year in the new home, because, you know, along with other herbs like holy basil and some great culinary herbs, are herbs that I just rely upon daily. And I will say too, that besides tinctures, I do also love to dry it for tea. And even though I don't feel like it has quite the same punch as a tincture does, because once you dry it, it does lose quite a bit of potency, I still think it's lovely as a tea, especially when you're combining it with other herbs. And again, like your own homegrown, home dried lemon balm, vastly better than anything you can buy. There are some really great farms that are handling things really, really, really gently. Like Oshala Farm is a really lovely farm. But I still think that your own homegrown, home very carefully dried lemon balm is something very, very special to do and enjoy. And if you're growing lemon balm, you probably have a lot of it. And so it's not too hard. And I will say, this is another herb that can blacken a little bit when you're drying it. Like basil might do that too. And so my favorite way to dry it these days is to dry it on a screen with a fan underneath it, get it most of the way dry through air drying. We're too humid here. You're in a more arid spot, I think. We're too humid here. It's not going to dry 100% via air. So then once it's pretty much there, then I might put it in a dehydrator or finish dehydrating it in a paper bag or a basket in my car. But just being really gentle not to overheat it, because we'll lose some of those aromatics, and then garble it and pulling the leaves off the stems and drying it. And I love lemon balm, whether it's a tincture or a tea. It's lovely on its own, but it's also a really wonderful combination. And you can really shift it, whether you combine it with holy basil for stress and calming and digest. You know, these are digestive herbs as well. These are immune herbs as well. These are blood sugar herbs as well. You know, there are so many different ways to work with these plants. They're not just about stress and sleep. Or you can combine it with schizandra, or you can combine it with hibiscus and elderberries, or you can combine it with milky oat seed. One of the things that I've been doing lately is, which is one of the recipes in the book, is just taking the tincture and lemon and seltzer and making a beverage with it that way. So it's really, you can work with lemon balm as a single ingredient. And I've had many clients have really phenomenal results with just simple lemon balm or simple lemon balm tincture. But it also plays so well with so many other herbs and just really brings formulas together, even as a dry herb. Even though you lose a lot of that lemoniness once it's dry, it really does a nice job bringing tea blends together. And we know that drinking tea is relaxing. So
It may be one of my most favorite herbs to formulate with. And I like often make a kind of this always slightly changing combination with, I love it with the oat straw or oat tops is so wonderful. Love it with roses. Like that three combination is so nice. I'll throw in chamomile too. Yeah, so many lovely combinations. Sometimes I even like putting it with lemon verbena, and it's just kind of like the two different lemonies, just they really go together well. So
another thing,
lemongrass, yeah. Yep. Another thing I love with lemon balm is playing with the amounts used, because there's, you know, there's just a whole range of like a little bit of lemon balm for like a delightful tea versus, you know, increasing that amount of lemon balm and even the steeping time for a little bit more of a punch. So yeah, it's so versatile. I mean, you could just spend an entire year getting to know lemon balm and all the different ways of working with it and all the different nuances, and yeah, the gifts just go on and on.
Yeah. And some people might be surprised if they make a really strong lemon balm tea that it's also an astringent plant, which you don't necessarily notice with a quick steep or a formula. But if you're really working with a lot of dry lemon balm, it is a little bit more astringent and you'll notice maybe a little bit of the bitterness as well. Whereas I don't tend to get that in a broader formula. I'm still playing with, like, I really want to be able to make a lovely glycerite with lemon balm. And it's so tricky because it's such a juicy plant that the lemon balm can make glycerin extracts go moldy, especially in our very humid, mold-prone environment that we have out here. You might not have as much of an issue of that where you are. And then, but then if you dry it, even if it's freshly dried, it's lost quite a bit of an oomph. And so I've done a bunch of different, like, one way and another way, fresh, dried, freshly dried, different mechanisms. And, you know, the fresh one came out the best, but it molded pretty quickly. And so my latest one that I wish I could find, my test batch, because it's somewhere, has yet to been unpacked and I don't know where it is, but it came out really great in the moment, was I harvested it fresh, threw it in the dehydrator at a low, low setting for a couple hours. So I wilted it pretty significantly, but not entirely, and then did that as a glycerin extract. And that came out amazing. But I can't promise you that it's shelf stable. So I need to find my test batch.
Yeah, that was my first thought on, you know, to try it like that. So it's cool to hear that you have tried it. We'll have to just wait and see as the unpacking goes on.
Yes.
Do you have anything else, Maria, to share with us about lemon balm? You've shared a lot already, but something tells me that lemon balm just keeps on giving. So
I do. So the main way that I tend to work with lemon balm are all the ways that we've just discussed. And I've kind of hinted at a few other things, like that lemon balm does have some glucose regulating and blood sugar lowering aspects, especially when you combine it with other herbs. And it is also very antioxidant, and you can also work with it as an aromatherapy remedy. But another kind of quickie that I briefly touched on is that it does have immune supportive as well as antiviral benefits. There's quite a bit of research on it for cold sores and herpes infections, specifically topically at that very first little onset, kind of like elderberry. What it seems to do is go in and block the virus out of the cells so that it can't break into the cells and replicate as easily. So the earlier stage tends to be the best, except it's a little bit more specific for herpes and shingles. It's a commonly prescribed topical remedy for shingles and cold sores in places like Germany. And so I have had a lot of clients who've done well also with the tincture for that, where they, at that first little tingle, I usually have them take some internally, dilute it in a little bit of water so the alcohol doesn't burn, and then dab a little bit of the tincture, which will work much better for a cold sore than if you have a herpes outbreak in a more sensitive or bigger area, then I might take a bath in it or something like that instead. But a lot of folks do really, really well. Again, that's one of those ones that the potency matters. So a homegrown tincture is going to be much more effective. And I've had people say that they've had better results with that than some of their other care things that have been given to them. And then there may even be some benefits for respiratory infections. I know Andrew Bentley has talked quite a bit in some of his work during the pandemic and feeling like, again, it's not a cure or anything like that, but that it did seem that when folks were drinking lemon balm tea or taking tincture, that it had some supportive benefits, both in prevention and also during infections, just help people feel a little bit better, be a little bit more resilient. It's not an end all be all herb for sure for that, but something to keep in the repertoire.
Oh, this just makes me so excited for spraying in my lemon balm to come back and so yes. Many gifts.
Yeah. I know. This is the first time in my life I haven't had a lemon balm plant like in my backyard, at least that I know of. Maybe the previous owner had one. But soon it will be back.
Yeah. Welcome spring. Well, I'm super excited for your next book on sleep and herbs. And I know you said writing has been a big part of your life lately. You're even working on your fourth book. We'll have you back on the podcast for that too. But I know you also teach a lot, and I'm wondering if you have any courses or anything you'd like to share with us along that realm.
I do. So every year I do a summer home herbalist series, and that's my core foundational program. And we go through a lot of the core body systems and remedy making techniques. And so that'll be happening on Tuesday nights, and we are going to be live streaming it. Everything is also recorded, so folks can do that program at any time on demand. But you, if you want to catch a live stream, that'll be happening on Tuesdays. And I will be doing that one also in person at the same time. So that's the only series I'm going to be doing in person, because I'm still getting used to the new layout and I don't want to bite off more than I can chew in the new home just yet. But, and then I, in the fall, I have my Beyond the Home Herbalist series, which kind of continues that with new body systems and health topics and remedies. And then the thing that I'm really excited series wise this year is that I will be doing a seasonal energetics, which is a module of the what I normally do, a bigger full advanced program. But this year, we're going to try breaking it up into more approachable modules. And so we're going to focus on energetics, seasons, plant families, taste. We'll be doing focuses on different materia medica, so like a plant, and they all tie together. So we pick a phytochemical constituent and a plant family and a taste and a plant that all tie into the energetics. And I'm super excited that Jiling Lin will be teaching about the five elements aspects of energetics, and Tisha Love will be in it doing the Ayurveda aspects while I'll be teaching about the Western herbal aspects. So pretty excited about that series, and it's all up on the website. That one starts in April, so I think by the time this airs, it will have already begun, but folks can jump in later, and you'll still have access to all the recorded materials. And the Home Herbalist series begins in summer, so that one will not have begun just yet.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot on your plate. Thanks for sharing that all with us. And before you go, I'd love to ask you a final question. And the final question I have for you is, how do herbs instill hope in you?
I think there are a lot of different ways in which herbs instill hope, but I think it all centers around this basic idea. And I know I have heard you speak on this too, and that once you start to learn about plants, and initially it start off very extractive of like, what can the plants do for me? But pretty quickly, we start to recognize that we have this bidirectional relationship with the plants, and that there are these amazing beings, whether they're cultivated or wild, surrounding us, that there are so many plants that have healing properties, and that alone can just be really eye-opening and bring a sense of comfort and connection to people to recognize that they're surrounded by so many plant allies, and then to also become more engaged with the plants and the environment and just all of that deeper meaning. And I wouldn't consider myself an overtly spiritual person, but I feel like the more you get to know plant medicine, the more likely that whatever kind of spirituality sense you have is going to deepen, because discovering that all these allies are around us is just sort of a magical experience. However your viewpoint is on that, I think it's really quite beautiful. And so all of those things bring great hope, not to mention the empowerment of being able to open up your cupboard or go out into your garden or your backwoods, and when you're not feeling well, find a plant that might help you feel better, or just to feel more vital and enjoy life a bit more. And so that's many ways in which herbs help bring hope, I think, to all of our daily lives.
That's beautifully said. Well, thank you so much for sharing your immense amount of wisdom about lemon balm. And I'm really excited for your future endeavors. So always great to be in touch and hear your updates, and really appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me and for all that you do.
Thanks for being here. Don't forget to head over to the show notes at herbswithrosaliepodcast.com to download your beautifully illustrated recipe card and to get a transcript of this show. There, you'll also be able to sign up for my weekly newsletter, which is the best way to stay in touch with me. The best way to check out Maria's offerings is at wintergreenbotanicals.com. If you'd like more herbal episodes to come your way, then one of the best ways to support this podcast is by subscribing on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. I deeply believe that this world needs more herbalists and plant-centered folks, and I'm so glad that you're here as part of this herbal community. Also, a big round of thanks to the people all over the world who make this podcast happen week to week. Nicole Paul is the project manager who oversees the whole operation from guest outreach to writing show notes to actually uploading each episode and so many other things I don't even know. She really holds this whole thing together. Francesca is our fabulous video and audio editor. She not only makes listening more pleasant, she also adds beauty to the YouTube videos with plant images and video overlays. Tatiana Rusikova is the botanical illustrator who creates gorgeous plant and recipe illustrations for us. I love them. I know that you do too. Christy edits the recipe cards, and then Jenny creates them as well as the thumbnail images for YouTube. Michelle is the tech wizard behind the scenes, and Karen is our student services coordinator and customer support. For those of you who like to read along, Jennifer is who creates the transcripts each week. Xavier, my handsome French husband, is the cameraman and website IT guy. Thanks to Rising Appalachia for their beautiful song, Resilience. Find more of their music at risingappalachia.com. It takes an herbal village to make it all happen, including you. One of the best ways to retain and fully understand something you've just learned is to share it in your own words. With that in mind, I invite you to share your takeaways with me and the entire Herbs with Rosalie community. You can leave comments on my YouTube channel, on the herbswithrosaliepodcast.com show notes page, or just simply hit reply to my Wednesday email. I read every single comment that comes in, and I'm excited to hear your herbal thoughts on lemon balm. Okay, you've lasted to the very end of the show, which means you get your very own gold star and this herbal tidbit. I love that Maria discussed organoleptics in this conversation, which is a fancy word for how we use our senses to evaluate herbs. We can use this to assess the strength of our herbal preparations, but also to figure out really practical things like when to harvest the plants. And lemon balm is a fantastic herb to really hone in your herbal senses. And here's my story about that. 1 year, I let my lemon balm go too long in the garden. And so by the time I got around to harvesting it, the plant had long been past flowering. But I thought, why not? I didn't want it to go to waste. The leaves still look pretty good. So I harvested them and I dried them. And then I made a cup of tea out of them and was amazed at how different this cup of tea tasted. Instead of that fresh lemon mint that's unique to lemon balm that I was familiar with, it was much more pungent and, like, I would just say turpentine-y. Not entirely pleasant. So now I have a lot more motivation to stay on top of the lemon balm harvest. I like it just before it goes to flower for the best taste. If you're in the mood for even more lemon balm, then check out my solo episode, which is by far my most popular video on YouTube. Enjoy your lemon balm.